day. This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
Half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Who's scruffy-looking?
And that was the sound of Star Wars and Princess Leia. And of course, as most of you know, we lost Carrie Fisher this week, and in a even more sad twist, a day later, her mother, Debbie Reynolds, also passed away. And of course, as a child of the 80s, you know, this hits home to me, and I'm not one that mourns the loss of people I don't know. But I do, you know, I do recognize and miss the presence of people that have entertained me or that have been a part of my life. So I don't necessarily call it mourning, because I never met either one of these women, but I do miss their works. Debbie Reynolds, of course, known for, I guess, Singing in the Rain, among other things. But the movie I remember her from that I remember growing up that was so funny was the movie Mother. And she was really, really good in that movie. So you owe it to yourself, if you haven't seen that movie, go look that up. I with Albert Brooks, and a very, very funny movie. And I remember a line from that, where she was defending the very old ice cream or sherbet that was in her freezer, and it had that thick glaze of ice over the top of it, and her son was telling her it was time to throw it away, that you can't freeze everything, and she called it the protective ice. That's always stood out to me. So I am the Rogue announcer. I am Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for December 30th, 2016, the last Rogue Talk of the year. And once again, as is becoming a bit of an annoying occurrence here, I am a little under the weather again, so my voice may sound a little froggy today. Got kind of a hybrid show for you today. Got a couple more sound clips I want to play just for fun, you know, because actually among the other celebrities that have passed this year, I noticed that with Carrie Fisher's passing, that there were four different actors, at least four that I could find, that all passed away in 2016. So I may try and play a couple more clips if I have the time, because Star Wars, as somebody who grew up in the 80s, Star Wars was a huge, huge part of my life. I was 8 years old in 1977 when the first movie came out. And my grandmother took all of us to the movies, or all of us kids. There was four of us, and we all loved it. We had a great time. And my grandmother hated it, at least that's what I remember at the time. But we loved it. And, of course, Star Wars is a part of a lot of people's, you know, childhood, because there's been so many movies. And, of course, the what I call the middle three movies, which make up episodes 1, 2, and 3, we like to try and forget about those ones. The storylines are fine, but the movies themselves were a little overdone, I think, with all the effects. You know, in fact, they even went back and changed a lot of stuff in the original three movies, and I don't like it. I have the version I have right now on DVD has a lot of the new, you know, I think they call it CGI effects, and it's fine when they cleaned up where they put the Vaseline on the lens so the land speeder would look like it was off the ground and you couldn't see the wheels. Excuse me. But they added a lot of extra creatures and buildings and such, and I don't enjoy all that extra stuff, so we try and forget about the what I call the middle three movies, even though chronologically in the series they're the first three, but in the making of the movies they're the middle three. I really love the newest chapter, which was the one that came out last year with Rey and with Finn. I really enjoyed that. And yes, the plot line is very similar to the original Star Wars. I get that. It's a bit of a knockoff, but it's a really, really good movie, and it's made more in the style of the original three movies. So I really enjoyed that one. I have not seen Rogue One. We were going to make our second annual Christmas trip to the movies, and I started coming down with the flu. And again, I'm sure you can tell from my voice, at least those of you that listen all the time, I'm still suffering with the flu. The chills and the fever are gone, but the congestion and the frequent coughing is still there. And I'm going to try and still do the basketball games. I was really disappointed to not get to Gold Beach earlier this week. We'll talk about that in a minute. With my only substitute not being here, Pastor Gigline's on vacation, and a much-deserved vacation. He wasn't able to fill in for me, and so we just weren't able to cover the games on Tuesday. And we'll get to those results in just a minute. I had to hit the cough button there, try and keep things as clear as I can. So before we get back to talking about Star Wars a little more, which I think is kind of fun for the end of the year, and I like to remember people for the good things and not, not some of the negative stuff. And again, I'm not one who necessarily mourns the death of people that I've never met. I do feel bad for the family, for the two of them to die so close to one another. It's got to be hard for, you know, her brother, and I believe she has a half sister, and I don't know all the family, but you know, I'm sure this is a really tough time for them. But we will miss her. Now, I know her acting for the next movie is already done, but I'm curious to see what the plot line is going to do with her passing, because I really don't think they would replace her with another actress, but we'll have to wait and see on that. So, moving on to some local news, I did see that the story we talked about last week about the out in Weimar, the pot grow, the grower that was assaulted and tied up and spent some time in the hospital. I don't have the article in front of me. I meant to bring that and was kind of rushing to the studio. Didn't grab that, but he is on the mend and out of the hospital. And but I saw it was a curious thing that it made it into the Oregonian. So now it was like legitimate news because it hadn't yet been in the Oregonian, and now they had a story on him. And my only comment to that was, hey, we covered it on Rogue Talk. If that doesn't make it legitimate news, I don't know what does. So, but he is on the mend, and so don't know how everything's turning out whether they've caught the suspects and all of that. But the most important part of it is that the grow operator who was beaten up pretty severely, it sounds like, is doing better. And so another thing about this flu going around that's going to affect the show today is not only my voice, which is bad enough, but I did cancel my interview for today. I'll postpone that interview for another week. And so we're going to replay the interview from last week with Sam Henricks. And Sam is about to be coronated in February. She'll be coronated Miss NPRA. And I believe that's the Northwest Pro Rodeo Association. I hope I'm getting that right. But so I have that interview queued up, and we will play that in the middle segment. And I apologize for not having a new interview today, but again, for the third time since this summer, I don't want to give anybody whatever it is I've got. I haven't had one cold or flu in the last 2 or 3 years, and just in the last 3 months, I'm on my third one. So I guess it's just testing how well I can stick with radio, getting me sick all the time. So let's move on to Chieftain Sports. The Chieftain girls basketball team, as we may have talked about a little bit, and I know I've talked about on the broadcasts of the games, they've recently have been having to play some of their games on a JV schedule. They've combined the JV and the varsity teams into one team. I believe the Glendale game was played as a varsity game, but it was a combined team. That was last Friday, and they lost 40-24. Not a bad game for them. And getting confirmation on that last little bit there. That is the Northwestern Professional Rodeo Association. So that's what NPRA stands for. So thanks to Mike in the truck for that. And back to the sports, the girls basketball then went to Gold Beach and then played a JV game. I don't have the score on that game, but they lost to Gold Beach. And over on the boys' side, the boys also played Glendale last Friday. Final score in that game was 41-31. They lost that game, but then went on the road on Tuesday and bounced back against Gold Beach, beating Gold Beach 61-44. And apparently they were trailing at the end of one. Don't know what the score at the end of one was, but they were down fairly significantly, apparently, from what I was told, and came storming back and won it pretty big, 61-44. So we'll be talking about their upcoming schedule, including tonight's games, in a little bit. And so that's all I've got for this segment. When I come back, we'll have the interview with Sam Henricks, and then we'll have Cameron's picks and maybe a couple more Star Wars clips to go out. You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Radio without all that junk. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Start with NFL Thursday Night Football. The New York Giants, who still have not clinched their first NFC playoff berth since winning the Super Bowl 5 years ago. The Eagles ended a five-game losing streak by racing out to an early 14-0 lead and beating the Giants 24-19 in Philadelphia. Eagles head coach Doug Peterson.
We needed a win, and it was a great win for us and very meaningful. But for your quarterback to do that and you know, this is just a great, you know, it's not one individual, it's a great team effort tonight, and just so proud of the guys.
The outcome allows Dallas to clinch the NFC East title and home field advantage throughout the conference playoffs. Moving on to the NBA, yesterday it was Boston over Indiana, 109-102. The Knicks stopped Orlando, 106-95. Golden State, 117. Brooklyn, 101. It was Miami stopping the Lakers, 115-107. This is SRN Sports. One other NBA score from yesterday, Clippers 106, Spurs 101. In the National Hockey League yesterday, Devils 4, Philadelphia nothing. Columbus beat Pittsburgh by a 7-1 score, Carolina 3, Buffalo 1. The Lightning over the Blues 5-2, Ottawa beat Anaheim 2-1 in overtime. Boston 3, Florida 1, Minnesota over the Canadiens 4-2. Kings 4, Predators nothing. The Maple Leafs beat Colorado 6-0, Winnipeg 4, Vancouver 1. AP Top 25 College Basketball, third-ranked Kansas beat UNLV 71-53. Other winners included number 16 Indiana, number 19 St. Mary's of California. College football, Idaho and Colorado State combined to produce the third highest scoring game in bowl history yesterday. Matt Leineman threw for 381 yards and four touchdowns as the Vandals won the famous Idaho Potato Bowl 61-50 over the Rams. With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. I am Jeff Smith, your Rogue announcer, and now I will bring you a encore presentation of last week's interview with Miss Sam Hendricks, the NPRA 2017 Rodeo Queen. Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And now joining me in the studio, a good friend and a very impressive young woman, Miss Sam Hendricks. Sam, welcome to Rogue Talk.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. So, recently on Facebook, I saw some things popping up there, and apparently you've won a pretty, you're about to be crowned into a pretty prestigious title. Tell me what the NPRA is all about.
So the NPRA stands for Northwest Professional Rodeo Association, and in September they had their NPRA finals, which was held in Prineville, and they also in conjunction hold a pageant where there was eight of us who tried out. So they put us through, you know, horsemanship things, speeches, interviews. We had to do a class presentation, modeling, you name it. And then it's a point system, so then at the end they, you know, announce category winners, and I was standing in the middle of the arena and they called me out first, so that was pretty exciting to do that. So yeah, and now as 2017 comes in, I will be able to wear my crown and my sash and all that, but right now I'm technically for the next week a lady in waiting. So
okay, now did you win any other or participate in any other similar events to get to this NPRA event?
I tried out in August for Miss Rodeo Oregon. It was my first ever pageant. It was a four-day long process, and they hold that in Canby. There was a couple other girls that tried out. A girl from Madras ended up winning it, and we became pretty good friends. Her name is Kayla, so she'll be the 2017 Miss Rodeo Oregon. But that was my first real tryout pageant process, and once I got through that, I was like, heck, I can do anything, because that was pretty crazy. But NPRA was a little more low-key, but still, it was a three-day pageant, and you know, you're up at 6 and to bed at midnight, and you do it again. So anyway,
so a pretty hectic schedule.
Oh, yeah.
And well, that's great. And what kinds of things did you mention what some of the criteria were, or some of the things you had to do? What did you do to prepare for those things leading up to the NPRA event?
Well, you wouldn't believe it, but the outfits drives me crazy. You have to have an outfit for like three outfits a day, it seems like. So just planning those and getting those, you know, dry cleaned and all ready to go, that's stressful enough. But you know, you practice with your horse, you practice giving some speeches, you know, public speaking, things like that, as well as studying. So each organization has a rule book that, you know, the bareback riders, the bull riders, all the event rules, so you have to know all those, because you'll get asked them in the horsemanship interviews and things like that. So just, you know, be up to knowledge on all that in current events. They'll pull things from left field from you. So
Now, when they then, of course, obviously they score all of this, so they determine who the winner is. Do they let you know? Do you know how you finish in each part of that, or is that a mystery?
Yeah, so they have awards like in general that they'll announce out that don't count for points. So you know, for. Sheesh. Just different category awards.
Sure.
But then they have, you know, the main, like, six categories that actually count towards the title. So it's personality, appearance, knowledge, horsemanship, things like that. But they will send, after the pageant, they send the rankings. And so they'll see how you ranked in each category. And actually, I ranked first or second in each category, which was super exciting to go back and be like, oh, wow, like, I didn't do as bad as I thought. Or, you know, oh, you know, something like that. But yeah, they send you out those. And then they announce the category awards right there in the arena right before they crown their new queen.
Okay, well, that's exciting, and that sounds like fun stuff. Now, so the way I found out about this was after we became Facebook friends, which was long overdue because we've known each other forever. You sent me an invitation to the coronation. What is that all about?
So the coronation, it's February 18th, and it's going to be in Grants Pass at the Josephine County Expo. And it's like my main fundraiser for the year. So we have like silent auction, a live auction, dessert auctions. We give away, you know, trips and prizes and all sorts of things, but that just raises all my money for fuel, for hotel accommodations, outfits. Like I might be doing the Rose Parade, so it'll cover all my costs for that. But it's then this the official passing of the crown. So Beth Snyder, she's the 2016 Miss MPRA, and she'll be coming down from Washington to officially crown me that night. So just a community event fundraiser.
So do they hold that? They hold that local to the whoever the winner was
to
then,
the queen, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that you can do some fundraising and get your family and friends, make it where they can attend.
Yeah, they just want the community to be behind wherever the young lady is from. So, like I said, Beth is from Ellensburg, Washington, so she had her coronation up there. But any girl from Idaho, California, Washington, Oregon, or Nevada can try out. It's open to all those states because NPRA is... that rodeo sanction is all through those states. So, yeah, we mostly get girls from Oregon and Washington, though. But, yeah, it is wherever the girl's from is usually where they hold their coronation.
Okay. And so you had mentioned you had participated in the other, and I apologize, I didn't write this down. What was the other pageant that you were in?
The Miss Rodeo Oregon.
Okay. And we were talking off air, the two different pageants have different affiliations with what organization. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about each of the organizations.
So Miss Rodeo Oregon is sanctioned through PRCA. So that's Pro Rodeo Cowboy Association. And then NPRA is kind of like a sister association to PRCA. So I represent NPRA rodeos. So there's Coos County, Jefferson County, Redding. They're all NPRA. And then something like Canby is a PRCA rodeo. So they just kind of go hand in hand. They're both, I mean, you see the same events. It's not really, if you were just a spectator, you wouldn't know, you know, if you were at NPRA or PRCA, but that's made the main difference.
Okay. And I'm a self-admitted novice to rodeo and riding. And I think I told you off air also that I have an ex-girlfriend back in the day that's hauling around a very expensive tack trunk that I bought. But that's the limit of my horse knowledge, would be purchasing a tack trunk one time. So that's pretty much it.
We don't even use tack trunks anymore.
Yeah, you know, see, there you go. And that's probably a good idea, because when you get that thing full, I mean, it takes three people to move that sucker. But so that's the extent of my knowledge. But I do know that in the past, when I knew that you were riding, you used to ride mules primarily. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned that for these events, you were having to ride quarter horses. Why? What's the reason for that?
Well, PRCA, when I tried out for Miss Rodeo Oregon, and when I was Miss Wild Rogue the past 2 years for Central Point, they're both PRCA rodeos. And PRCA is hand-in-hand with the American Quarter Horse Association. So they want to see you on a quarter horse, you know, promoting their main sponsor. So I just kind of have gotten used to riding a horse, and they want me on, the main thing is they just want me on a horse, on like a stock quarter horse, right? But I still do. Last year, I rode in the Rogue River Parade, and I rode a mule, you know, just because people know me from there, and that's what they know me for. If I do ride in the Rose Parade, I plan on riding a mule this coming June. So I like to sneak it in every once in a while, but I have a good horse that I ride, so that's nice.
Sure. Now, who originally got you into riding horses?
Oh, definitely my mom.
I thought so.
Yeah, my grandpa, they had Arabs, and they showed and trained and had studs for that. And when my grandpa had bred for a pack mule, and my mom very quickly took that over, and she trained the mule and started riding the mule. And they have mule shows just like they have, you know, horse shows or anything like that. And they're breed specific, so they, you know, you can travel all over and show mules against other mules, and you don't have to compete against horses like you would in high school equestrian team and 4-H and that. So my mom just fell in love with it and has done it ever since. We still have mules at the house, and she shows still, but I've mostly been just doing the rodeo stuff. But
okay, well, and if I remember right, you were winning the equestrian events that you were doing. You were winning against horses with your mule. Is that right?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, that's impressive. And I don't know why, but that stuck out in my mind. I always remember talking about that. And now, again, me being not really aware of how all these things are, let's go back to the pageants, and you mentioned there are some riding portions of that. What kind of riding are you doing? What are you showing in those events?
So for the horsemanship category, we carry a flag. They want to make sure, because you carry the American flag a lot and sponsor flags if you are to be selected the queen. So they make you carry a flag, do a run around the arena, make sure your horse, you know, can handle carrying a flag and you look nice carrying it. Then they make you push cattle, because when you're in like the roping events, you stand in the arena during the rodeos and you move the slack out of the way just to help the rodeo keep running smoothly and quickly. But also then we ride a horsemanship pattern, which is more a show element, I guess you would say, but it just wants to show control. They want to just select a lady who knows how to ride and can handle different situations that she's put in, and just, you know, someone who's confident.
Okay, so how does that compare to the type of riding you would do when you were doing equestrian events?
Well, the pattern is really, really similar. When I was doing equestrian events, I'm showing performance, and that's the pattern is a performance pattern. So that compared a lot. So I think that I'm stronger in those events. I feel more comfortable. I've been riding for years. So when I when the pattern, all the girls are all nervous, and I was like, yes, finally, finally, this is my thing. So that compares a lot. But as far as like the cattle and the flags, like that's been new to me for the last couple years, because I, you know, when I showed, we didn't have to really do anything like that. So that's been a little bit of a curve for me.
So you haven't been hanging around rodeos your whole life.
No.
Yeah. So, and now your equestrian work, both in high school and then, of course, in these pageants, has also led you to another new job. And tell us about that job.
Oh, it's a job, let me tell you. No, I coach Grants Pass High School equestrian team. I have 7 girls this year. There's only a couple girls that I have returning, so I have a fairly new team. But it's fun. I love going down there and I helping the girls. And it, you know, if I can just influence them a little bit or help them out a little bit, and you know, you see the little light bulb come on, it's totally worth it for me. Even though sometimes I get gray hairs when I'm down there, but you know, it is worth it. And we have our first meet coming up in February, so hopefully, you know, we'll be all set to go and the girls will have a successful first meet.
Yeah, that would be great. And so talking about coaching, back when you were playing soccer, and I got to tell you, people, she was a pretty good soccer player. There's no doubt about it. I don't know if she still plays at all. I know she's had some injuries, and but I'm trying to remember, and this will be insulting if I'm wrong, but I don't think I ever talked you into playing basketball, did I?
I played basketball like in middle school, but I was like 5 feet tall, so basketball wasn't my thing.
I couldn't remember. I knew I worked on you pretty hard to get you to play, but I couldn't quite remember if I had gotten you to do that or not. But yeah, usually the ones I have to talk into it, they don't stick with it too long. But you were really a good soccer player, and it was fun to watch. And I guess we've got some open gyms we've been starting up here in Rogue River, and did they contact you to participate?
Yeah, I got a call from the girls' soccer coach for the high school, and he was like, "You want to come down?" But I tore my ACL my senior of high school in powder puff football of all things, and so I haven't played since then. But you know, I've thought about it. I've thought about going back and helping out, but I'd be standing and yelling from the sidelines because you know I'd probably take one wrong move and have to be up again. But anyway, I did get phone calls though.
Well, they tell you that, because I know Mackenzie had ACL surgery, and they tell you, of course, you can re-damage the one, but you're more likely to damage the other one after you've had the one repaired. In fact, with her injury, she had a where the tendons come through, the shape of the bone is supposed to be kind of rounded, and hers was more V-shaped, and the doctor said, most likely you're going to tear the other one at some point. And it was like, oh, that's reassuring.
Like, thanks.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks. I didn't need to know that. Yeah. But that's an injury that definitely makes you think twice about, especially if you did it in a pickup game, like a powder puff game.
Of course.
Of course, and that's how Kenzie did her. She was playing open gym against the boys playing basketball, not in a game. You know, it's one thing if you do it in a game, at least you were in a competitive environment.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, the powder puff was competitive.
Was I announcing that night? I did announce a few of those games.
Probably.
I don't remember if I was there that night.
I don't know. I just remember no one believed me. They're like, no. No, you didn't tear it. You're being a wimp. And I was like, nope, I did.
No, I can assure you, watching lots and lots of soccer games, one adjective can't be used for Sam is wimp. So I am talking to Sam Henricks. She is going to be the 2017 Miss NPRA. Her coronation will be in February 18th. At the Josephine County Fairgrounds, and if you'd like to get tickets to that event, I actually don't have a website. Maybe Sam has something, but you can definitely contact me through the Facebook page, and I'll get you hooked up to get those tickets. I believe the tickets are $20 for adults and $15 for kids, and I forget the age, but you could pay the whole 20 if you want for the kids, because this is a fundraiser, and it's all going to a great cause to Samantha. And so, moving forward, now you're in school right now, right?
I am.
And
yeah.
Where are you going to school?
I go to school at RCC. Next couple terms, I'll have a business degree with a media and marketing focus. So that's exciting. A couple more terms left.
That's great. So
yeah.
we could use media and marketing around here. Of course, this is a volunteer job, so you know, won't pay anything. But that's one thing. I'm terrible at media and marketing. If those Facebook posts get out, that's the extent of my ability to market.
Oh, geez, my Facebook is crazy. I have the NPRA page. I have the Grants Pass High School Equestrian page, and then my page. So I always my Facebook. My phone just consistently vibrates the whole time. It doesn't stop.
Yeah, well, you had me bugging you two or three times this week,
yeah,
and a little bit last week. So, yeah, everybody wants to get a hold of the queen.
There you go.
No, and that's great, though, and that's good to hear. And so after this year serving, you know, as is it Miss NPRA, mm-hmm. is that what you call it? Are there any other pageants or events or maybe riding events that you're still looking forward to trying out?
My mom's probably listening, so she probably is going to feel like, oh, thanks for telling me, Sam. But I do have plans to try out for Miss Rodeo Oregon again. I tried out in August of this last year, so come August again, one of my goals that I have. But as far as moving forward with school, after I'm done with RCC, I may go back and try to get a bachelor's, but I do want to take a couple years off to more focus on my queen stuff. And like I said, if Miss Rodeo Oregon works out for me, and then all the girls still at the equestrian team are like, you're going to coach next year, right? So I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I think so. I think so. So, you know, I have definitely plans to go forward with horse stuff. I'll never not have a horse or a mule or,
yeah.
you know, something like that Right.
Well, is your mom still riding, I assume?
Yep, she's
not
still
that
has...
she not that you're old, Lisa. I didn't mean it that way.
No, she is. She's still riding. She's still showing. She made it to a few shows this last year and kind of getting, we had, while I was in high school, she didn't show that much because I had, equestrian team and 4-H and things like that. But now that I'm done with high school and she's been out and she made it to Bishop Mule Days this May, and she did really well there and a couple more shows after that. But yep, still going strong.
Yeah, well, now that reminds me, because I know very little about riding. Is there a name for the type of riding that you do, or is there a style? I'm remembering bits and pieces of what I remember from my youth, and it's all jumbled up in there. So is there a name to the type of riding or the style of riding that you do?
Well, there's kind of, you break it down to a few categories. So like performance events, which would be like English, Western, dressage, trail, showmanship, is, the events that are based on you as a confident rider and then how your horse moves, and you put them through patterns and just how easily you can ask your horse to do certain maneuvers. But then they have events like, speed events, barrel racing, pole bending, keyhole, things like that, where it's just you're competing for a time. So it's, you against the clock. They also have cattle events and then cart driving events, things like that. But we showed mostly performance. In equestrian team, I did speed events. I had a horse that I ran barrels with and poles and things like that. But I grew up doing performance, showing English and Western, and that's what I won a lot of things with in equestrian team was performance events.
Okay, yeah, and I know someone I know, and I won't mention names because I don't have permission to, but I know one lady here in town that's a barrel racer, and I never knew what it was until I found out that she did it, and I kind of watched it. It's actually kind of cool to watch. It's looks dangerous, though. Is it dangerous?
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Actually, the NFR, the National Finals Rodeo, was just on the 1st through the 10th of December, which is, the PRCA's big finals of the year, right? And there was actually a gal from Salem who ended up second in the world and won a bunch of stuff, and she was just up and coming. But if you watch those girls on TV, it's crazy. And my parents actually went down to Vegas and watched it live, and they, they're so fast and those horses are so strong, and it's a different experience, I bet, watching it live than watching it through the TV. But oh yeah, there's definitely spills and horses taking off and all sorts of things. But yeah, it's not an easy sport, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, and any excuse to get to Vegas, right?
Yeah,
am I right, Lisa? I mean, come on. We were just in Vegas as part of a trip into Arizona and Utah, but we started in Vegas and finished in Vegas, and I did see the signs advertising that the rodeo or
the NFR.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's cool. And I've never been. I admit, I need to get to one of these local ones, and maybe I'll use you as an excuse to get to one of these. And I'm hoping to attend the coronation. I think that'll be cool, and I'd love to support you in that. And so, once again, I'm going to mention this again because this is what this show is for. I want to plug things for community events and anything that's great. And of course, Sam lives in Grants Pass now, but she's a Rogue River girl, went to Rogue River High School. And so if you would like to get tickets to her coronation and support her in her endeavors, contact me through the Rogue Talk page and I will get you hooked up with that. Tickets are $20 and the coronation will be Saturday, February 18th. From 5:30 to 11. Imagine you don't have to stay till 11, but I guess if there's a whole lot of things going on. What will be happening at that event, Sam?
So we have a dinner, so you can come and we'll feed you. And then we have a silent auction, a live auction, giving away some cool prizes. And then we have actually a dessert auction, too, which is kind of fun. So, if you don't want to participate in any of those, but all the auction items is they're all locally donated, so that's cool. So I have stuff from local businesses downtown, wineries. Dutch Bros has thrown in some stuff for me, so that's just nice because Miss NPRA there's never been a Miss NPRA from Southern Oregon before, so I've been really trying to incorporate the local businesses around here just because there's never been a Miss NPRA from here, and plus the last few title holders have been from Washington. So it's nice to have, you know, me from here, from Oregon, so I can represent, you know, Southern Oregon and then Oregon as a whole.
Yeah, so that's great. So, yeah, if you can support Sam, that it definitely sounds like a fun event. I'm going to definitely try and make it. And when you mentioned Dutch Bros, I'm sold. So, you know, I might even be able to talk my wife into going with me if you, you know, with Dutch Bros is there. I mean, that's...
There you go.
So, well, I want to thank you for coming in. And that was my interview last week with Sam Henricks. I want to thank Sam again for coming on the show. And in fact, I think I talked her into coming in one more time, maybe the week before the coronation, and we'll plug that again. This should be a great event, and I'm looking forward to it. And I know she is being coronated as Miss NPRA 2017. And I know how much fun those things are. Of course, I served the last few years, and I think I'll be continuing to serve as the MC for the Miss Rogue River Scholarship Pageant. And I know how much work goes into that pageant, and I can only imagine with the writing events that Sam has to do, how much work she must put in to prepare for that and to win, you know, a big event like that. So thanks again for Sam for coming on the show. I'm going to take another break here, and when we come back, we'll have Cameron's picks. I'll tell you a little bit about next week's show, and maybe we'll slip in a little more Star Wars stuff to end the show and end 2016. You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Russian President Vladimir Putin says he won't immediately retaliate for the Obama administration's attempt to punish his country. Instead, he says he'll wait for a new approach by Donald Trump. President Barack Obama's decision yesterday to impose sanctions and expel Russian diplomats over what U.S. intelligence says was Russian meddling in the American election. A federal judge denies a request to delay a competency hearing for the white man facing a possible death sentence in the killing of 9 black parishioners at a church in Charleston, South Carolina. The judge ordered a psychiatric evaluation of Dylan Roof to take place this weekend and a hearing to occur on Monday. A divided Connecticut Supreme Court reinstates Kennedy cousin Michael Skakel's conviction for the 1975 murder of Martha Moxley. The court rejected a lower court ruling that Skakel's trial attorney didn't adequately represent him. This is SRNE.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. The United States is resuming a trade fight with the European Union over barriers to American beef exports. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative is threatening to bring back tariffs on some products to pressure the EU into ending a ban on U.S. beef treated with hormones. The U.S. had suspended the tariffs after a compromise was reached. The Justice Department is suing Barclays Bank PLC and several of its affiliates over the sale of risky mortgage-backed securities. The lawsuit seeks to recover civil penalties for fraud from the British bank. The lawsuit accuses the bank and its employees of misrepresenting the quality of the loans they sold to investors between 2005 and 2007. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 23 points with business...
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. I am Jeff Smith, and hope you've enjoyed the show so far today. I apologize that we had to do a little replay of an interview there, but if you haven't noticed from my voice, I'm under the weather once again. I hope for the last time for quite some time. I'm getting tired of this. I work outdoors, and I generally just don't get sick. It's just been this year that it's hit me hard since September. And part of the problem is, of course, I have my youngest, the Rogue Talk mascot. He's at the high school, and then my oldest is now working at the high school. So they're both bringing home that everything that every kid brings to school. And of course, Cameron playing basketball, he's getting exposed even more over there. And so just to pour a little salt on the wound for me this week, my middle daughter, Mackenzie, she's been trying to get some extra work and make some extra money, and she's gotten a part-time job at a preschool. So even more little crumb crunchers giving everything they have to my children, and my children bringing it home to me. So we'll see how the rest of the year goes, but I hope I'm done for a while. So let's move on to, let's talk quickly about next week's show. Next week I have scheduled the founder of the Weimer Beautification Group, a newly formed group that once a month goes out and cleans up an area in Weimer where there's been a lot of dumping and litter and just garbage. And it's unfortunate that you need a group like this. I know just even where I live on Broadway, I'm constantly cleaning garbage out of my hedge that runs along the road. And it's unfortunate that people are careless in that way with just litter and whatever. But what's happening out in Weimer is people are finding places where they think they can't be seen or where no one's around. And they're just dumping, you know, sometimes truckloads of garbage. I mean, couches and tires and appliances. I mean, you name it. I know the community center was accepting certain things and metal and whatnot, and they've scaled back on some of that. But again, even in that situation, people would come and, you know, in the middle of the night, and they'd leave things that they're not supposed to be leaving there. And even with the signs now that say they're not taking metal right now, I'm sure that, you know, people occasionally ignore the signs and drop stuff. You know, I know years ago, we hadn't lived here that long, and they used to have the containers downtown, the big dumpsters downtown for recycling. And the same thing would happen. People would come in the middle of the night, and they'd leave all kinds of household garbage and other things that they weren't supposed to leave. And so the company that was providing the dumpster said, you know, forget it, we're done, we're pulling them out. It's not worth the trouble for us to, you know, have to clean this up all the time and basically haul people's garbage for free. You know, of course, now we have the recycle cans, but that's not really the point of what was happening there. And even the mill, when they were under the previous ownership, they used to take limbs and clippings out at the mill so they could chip it up. I believe they used it for their boiler. But they quit that practice because, again, people would come in the middle of the night and dump things that just they shouldn't be dumping. And a lot of times they would slip stuff in with the limbs and stuff. Well, if those things get into the chipping machinery, it can do a lot of damage, and people can get hurt even. So, you know, that kind of stuff, it's just not right. It's unfortunate we have that kind of thing. But joining me on the show next week, Deborah Schnicker, she started this new Weimer Beautification Group, and it's such a great idea, and I'm so pleased to have her coming on the show next week. There's another cleanup coming up. I believe this is their third one since she started the group, and we're going to be promoting that next week, and I'm looking forward to meeting Deborah. Anyone that would care this much about their community to form the group and do all of the behind the scenes organization and fundraising and all the stuff that it takes to keep this going is somebody I want to meet. So I'm looking forward to next week's show. So before I run out of voice here, let's move on to Chieftain Sports. Coming up tonight, basketball at New Hope. Girls game will be at 6 o'clock. Boys game will be at 7:30. And those will be both be right here on 94.3 The Bridge. And I will be hopefully recruiting some help so that I can use that cough button a little extra tonight. But I will try and limp my way through those games. I know the parents especially appreciate it when they can't make it to some of these games that we put those on the air. And then again, the teams will play Tuesday, and I forgot to put that in my notes, but I know they play Tuesday. I believe the times again are 6 and 7:30, and those are home games on Tuesday, so try and make it out to those games. But if you can't, again, they'll be right here on 94.3 The Bridge. And tonight, again, New Hope Christian School in Grants Pass. And first girls game at 6, boys game at 7:30. So while we still have a little time, let's move on to Cameron's picks. And last week, I didn't actually compile his record from last week, so we'll talk about that next week. But he did pick against Sam, but they only picked one game differently. And fortunately for Cameron, that was the Denver-Kansas City NFL game, and Cameron picked Kansas City, and Sam, being a horse girl, she picked the Broncos, and unfortunately for the Broncos, they lost that game. So Cameron's wiping the sweat off his brow on that one, because that means he was able to beat Sam. He doesn't like to lose to these guest pickers, and I don't have him or Pastor Gigline here, but I know with the Raiders playing the Broncos this weekend in a game that may mean some seeding difference to the Raiders, because they can still win the division, but means nothing to the Broncos. I'm pretty sure Cameron would be picking the Raiders in that, and Pastor Gigline will be picking the Broncos because that's his team. That's where he grew up. So, and I'm guessing there's another dollar on that game. That's been the pattern this season between those two. So let's quickly get to these other games that Cameron's picking for me here while I bring up his picks. The first one is, and actually this is kind of a fun one for this week, because a couple of these games I may have the results already, because I had him pick these games last night, and two of these games are going on today, so I'll try and bring up those and get the instant picks on these if I can. So the first game is the Sun Bowl. And I watched a little bit of this while I was getting ready to head down to the station. Number 18, Stanford, taking on North Carolina. Stanford is a 2.5-point favorite. And to no surprise, Cameron picked Stanford. And let's see if I can bring that game up quickly here. That game should be about over if it's not over already. And, not good for Cameron. Stanford did pull off the win, 25-23, so they didn't cover the spread. And so, once again, Cameron, he sometimes gets mad about picking against the spread, and he's going to be mad again on that one, because he's going to lose that one. I forget what the spread was. Where I lost track of it here. Yeah, spread was 2.5. They won by 2, so they didn't cover, so he loses that one, doesn't even get the tie. So the next game was the Music City Bowl, Nebraska versus number 21, Tennessee. Tennessee, a 7-point favorite. Cameron taking Nebraska in that one. So let's see if we have an update on that game. I'm starting to run out of time here. While I'm looking that up, His other games, now it looks like Tennessee's winning at the moment, but that one's not over, so we won't have the instant gratification on that one quite yet. We'll talk about that next week. The other games that he was picking Let's get these real quick because I'm running out of time. The Peach Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl, the two semifinal games, he's picking Alabama to win over Washington. Alabama, 13.5-point favorite. And he's picking Ohio... he picked Ohio State to beat Clemson. And the other game was LSU-Louisville. And he's picking Louisville in that one. So that's all we've got for today. Be good to one another because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.